I got asked to quote on a job doing hair and makeup for, as the client said, mature women. One woman is 50. As a 53-year-old woman myself, I don't see 50 as a mature woman. It's okay if you do, but I 100% do not. Why can't we just say a woman who is 50? Honestly, her age is also completely unnecessary. A dictionary meaning of mature is fully developed and physically grown, which science claims that is now in your 30s versus the previously believed 25, which was tied to the prefrontal cortex development, which is the part of the brain behind the forehead. That is one of the last parts we have to fully develop. Circling back, as a woman who has been doing hair and makeup for over 35 years now, these misogynistic labels used to describe women drive me bonkers. When you are hired as a hair and makeup artist, you show up with your kit and should be prepared for the guests in your chair. Sure, we may see riders or special requests, but knowing ages is frankly irrelevant. I would take a photo of the person over their age because skin and hair type and hair length tells me what I can accomplish, not ages. In all of my years as a hair and makeup artist, when I have done male grooming jobs, I have not been told it's a mature man. I have not been told their ages. It's been a booking for men's grooming, period. My guest today is a woman whom I had first met doing her makeup on a campaign for Revlon. Lindsay is a model with a really cool backstory. She started off in Canada and then quickly found herself in New York, Paris, Italy, South Africa, which is now where she is based. In our conversation, we talk about aging in the industry, where I feel that we could do better. We don't see many women with aging faces in mass market media or brands and campaigns. Lindsay expresses how she disagrees with me a little bit and lists off some of the great comeback faces landing campaigns as of late for such brands as Gucci. As I reflect on our conversation, while I do agree that we do see the comeback of familiar faces in luxury campaigns, we do not see this in mass markets yet. Fashion has a trickle-down effect since generic mass market brands always want to feel like they're upmarket. They tend to take luxury brands' leads with their campaigns. I think we are probably looking at a year or two delay since that's traditionally how fashion works. Luxury labels want to set themselves apart from mass market brands. Recently, I reached out to four modeling agencies in Toronto looking for women aged 45 and up for a shoot, and one agency had no one in that age category, and the other three agencies had one face in town, with one agency having another face but based in Montreal that might be coming to Toronto. Not having faces available on the roster for a shoot targeting over 50 is where that silent volume rings loudly.
Welcome to the Fuck You 50s, the podcast for women who refuse to tolerate the bullshit anymore. This is real talk, real stories, and a long overdue reality check. I'm your host, Andrea Claire, and this podcast is the filter-free voice you've been waiting for, with a dose of F-bombs. The Fuck You 50s, unfiltered, unapologetic, and undeniably needed.
My guest today is Lindsay Sullivan, model, actor, photographer, mother, and a whole lot of other great things. Lindsay joins us today talking about her comeback era, which is so fantastic. And she also shares that beauty has no age or boundaries, experiences beautiful, and is finally being considered in the fashion industry. Welcome to the Fuck You 50s.
So thank you for doing this. Welcome to the Fuck You 50s.
Thank you. Yay. Fuck You 50s.
Yeah. Yay.
Your story is such a great story. And the fact that, like, so we met, it was a Revlon shoot, right? Was it Revlon that you and I met?
Yeah, it was Revlon.
Yeah. So that was what, 2006 or something, or 2007. I remember that job. It was just before I was moving to Singapore, but I was also like, we were finishing that shoot. Then I was zipping to New York for Fashion Week. I sound so jet set.
And I think I had only moved back to Canada for like a year or something like that.
That was such a good time too in the industry here. Like, I feel like it's changed so much, like, since I've been in Singapore and back again. So tell me, so you're in South Africa now, right?
I'm in South Africa now. That is my home base, but yeah. I am still working internationally.
Which is amazing. When, how old were you? And like, you don't have to tell your age now, but how old were you when you started modeling?
If I'm really honest about it, my mom put me in a modeling school when I was about five. So okay. I went into one of those schools where they teach you how to walk with a book on your head and like,
oh my God,
you know, posing for the camera,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But realistically, the industry that we know, I got back into that at the age of 15. And then I started modeling in Toronto, and I very quickly started doing all of the magazines. I mean, that's when I was shooting like, you know, with George Whiteside and Chris Nichols and everybody. And then, you know, Jacob caught wind, and then I was in Montreal shooting with them. And,
amazing.
Yeah.
I need to stop using that word too. I use amazing way too much. Like, it could be a drinking game. Like, if someone's watching this and they're like, oh, she said it again, another shot.
Okay. Mine is fabulous. I say fab or fabulous all the time. So.
Okay. We should just like, we should just switch it out. I'll start using, I'll just use fab now.
Fabulous.
And so I know you have two sons now, right?
I do. I have two little boys. Ryder is 8 and Killian's about to turn 7.
Wow. Oh my God. So cute. I'm curious because I honestly don't know this answer. Did you ever take a break in modeling?
I did. Yeah. So the short form of the story of my career is that I started in Toronto very young, and then I went straight to Europe, after which time I went to Paris, you know, came home for a little stint because, and like, this is kind of part and parcel of this podcast, because I was getting starting to be told that I'm too old.
You're like, I'll fucking show you.
I'll fucking show you. Exactly. But I also had some family stuff to deal with, which yeah. That's a whole other podcast. But yep. So I came home, and then I kind of changed agencies, and my career kind of took back off in Canada at that stage. And I was like, screw you. I don't care if I am 30, whatever. And then after a couple of years of that, it kind of became the same thing again. It was a bit like, oh, you know, you're getting up there and all the young ones are coming in. But the thing with that is I've always been a hybrid. I'm a model and I'm an actor. So I've always done both. So I just focused on the acting. So I just thought, you know what, actually, I'm not going to model anymore. And it's actually more fulfilling for me to follow my passion in acting. And I started doing films and TV series and all those sort of things. So I actually left the industry for almost 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Because I was old.
Because you're old. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Because I was old in my 30s. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Just the whole concept of age and aging out, right? But you don't hear these stories about men. And I don't want to be like anti-men or anything, but it just kind of shows like the misogyny. I've even been told, again, not by a lot of people, but a few people in the industry, like, stop telling people your age because it's going to hurt you. It's like, I'm doing hair and makeup, you know, like, it. You would think that somebody that has like experience, you know, running teams, doing campaigns, like, it shouldn't be like, okay, she's old now.
Well, 100%. And I guess actually that's kind of why I came back. I mean, I'm a photographer as well. So I started shooting some of these girls and I was just like, wow, the lack of experience. And, you know, they could really be shown a thing or two. And, you know, it would be interesting to have someone like me in the industry where, you know, you could kind of, you know, help, or I don't know. And I offered my services to some agencies to say like, hey, I can help train some of the girls. I'm like, it's okay. We don't need that. Thanks.
And you've kind of, I do want to touch back on your photography, but just to focus on your modeling right now, from my perspective, seeing you on Instagram, you kind of took the reins and just started going to see different agents around the world, right?
I changed agencies a few times. And because of that, all of my experience and all of the big things that I had done in my life, like the Vogue covers and the Elle covers and the Citizen K and all the Revlon, all that stuff, it got lost. So I sat down with the owner and I just said, look, I know it's not relevant necessarily. It was 25 years ago, but do you know my history? Do you actually know like what I bring to the table? And we had this conversation and her jaw just got increasingly longer the more I spoke. And she was like, I'm loving this. We shot like crazy for like the next 3-4 weeks. I built my portfolio back up, got back on the main board, started getting international clients right away. Basically, I placed myself, and I've got agencies now in Paris, in London, Germany. I did have one in Germany prior because I lived in Germany with my husband. And then my agency here has helped me with a couple of placements. But aside from that, yes, I took the reins and I just said, you know what? This is how I'm presenting myself. I'm going high fashion or bust. I'm really taking the reins in my own career, which is amazing considering how little models do have control over what they do most of the time, especially when you start very young.
It's true, because a lot of times when you're getting bookings, like as a general, you know, models generally, it's like they'll send a bunch of portfolios to a client to kind of pick, you know, or you go on go seats or, you know, casting calls but yeah, it's like the reins that you kind of grabbed hold of for your career now. Like I see your Instagram and everything that you're doing. It's really fantastic. And you're showing that women of a certain age can be on the same playing field.
Well, very recently, I've had options for Loewe, for Jimmy Choo, for like these really big campaigns. And I haven't quite gotten there, but the fact that I'm on that level, on that playing field, those are usually the clientele or like the level of jobs that were previously reserved for, you know, the young and beautiful, right? But they're seeing a different aspect now. They're looking, and also this whole new no makeup trend that's going on. It's, you know, Pamela Anderson has started and all these other girls are following. I have to be honest, I'm wearing makeup right now only because of the fact that I had a casting earlier. I literally walk around with no makeup on most of the time because I think it's stunning. I think as we age, all of those things that happen to our face is a product of our experience and the life that we've lived, the laughter that we've had,
yeah,
you know, the sun that we enjoyed, whatever the case may be. And sure, if you don't like a little bits about your face, hey, don't get it twisted. I still do laser. I do my, you know, my microneedling and stuff like that. I have my products or whatever. So if those things make you feel happy and comfortable, by all means. But like for me personally, I don't do Botox. I mean, I'm not really into that kind of thing, but I'm very careful with my skin. But at the end of the day, to see lines on a beauty campaign, what does that say to the world? What does that say? That says these people, these women who have brought everybody around here into the world are beautiful, right? And we are.
Yep. I think wasn't it Kate Winslet? Yeah. She was one of the first faces, I think, for Lancome, right? Where she was just like, "Don't retouch me." And I think they took out her wrinkles and stuff as well. And
yep, she wasn't happy because they slimmed her, they liquefied her, and she wasn't happy with it. As a photographer as well, I have to admit, like, and I retouch my own photos because now I've started doing series with myself. So I've actually been doing a lot of editorials with myself, which have now been published, funny enough. And when I retouch my own face, I'm really careful. I only do like if I see like, okay, now I've got a zit, so let's take that out. But I leave the wrinkles, you know, and I leave the texture of the skin because I don't want to look like I'm 30 because I'm not. So why?
Well, and I think too, there's that, I mean, some people like they'll do Photoshop on someone to make them look like a complete alien. They don't even look human anymore. But I think there's also that concept, like even with model testing and things, you're not supposed to take out someone's freckles. You're not supposed to take out anything that's permanent. You're technically not supposed to take out what people take it out anyway. So tell me a bit more about your photography. How did you get, because I dabble in a little bit of photography too, but how did you get into it?
I actually started when I was in New York City. So I was fortunate enough to work with a lot of really amazing photographers, and I started to assist a couple of them. This was back in the day of film. So I was usually the one carrying the sandbags and rolling the film and putting the backs on the cameras and then rolling the film again and then doing the Polaroids and the light metering and all that stuff. But just by virtue of being in the studio and watching what they were doing, I learned an awful lot about photography. And I became a digital tech. Back then, it was when digital came in, and the photographer I was working with didn't have the time. So he sent me to get my digital technician certification with Capture One Pro. And then I had to like then show him what to do, how to tether the computer to the camera and how to do the different backings onto the different cameras and stuff like that.
So you really have like the deep knowledge. Like for me, I've just, sorry to cut you off, but like the photography that I do, I started doing model testing in Singapore for a mannequin modeling agency. I'm sure all my photographer friends will like cringe, but I use my DSLR and I only do natural lighting, and it's a lot different than like, obviously your knowledge is way more.
I disagree with that too. I have to disagree with you there too. I don't think that necessarily the technical background makes the photographer. In my opinion, it's the composition, the artistry, the lighting, and the feeling. And I think that you can pick up one of those old disposable cameras. Remember those? They used to be in like cardboard. You can pick up one of those. And if you're a photographer and if you've got a good eye for composition, lighting, and coloring and all those beautiful things, then you can probably make a pretty good editorial just from one of those.
Yeah.
But you know, it's another thing that I've had to struggle with at my age, because I also kind of like dabbled in and out, and I decided again last year to take it seriously. So I went a bit crazy and started doing photographs of myself and also of other models. And like I went through the submission process with different magazines, but people haven't been taking me seriously this whole time. Nobody has been taking me seriously, even though I'm getting printed in these good magazines. I was even considered for Portuguese and Scandinavian Vogue, but people aren't taking me seriously because it's like, oh, Lindsay, she's a model and she's starting kind of late. You know, how serious can this be?
I find things are so different than like years ago when we would have go-sees. Like I've even tried to, like being back in Toronto, like messaging some of my old clients, like, oh, do you want to get together for coffee? Because I think there's so much more that you can get from someone when you actually meet them in person. I really miss that building teams, working with people that you regularly work with. Like now I see things on Instagram where someone will do a call out on their story. Is there a hairstylist available for tomorrow? We're going to do a creative. We need a hairstylist. And it's like, what happened to building relationships and having your like four or five people that you call regularly, you know? And then they also know you, right? It's not this assumption that they're making from the, you know, Instagram account.
Can I tell you something really interesting? And this is going to shock you, I think. Cape Town, which has never been considered in the forefront of fashion, let's be honest. It was always very commercial and lifestyle, and that's where the models went when they were too old, etc. Like this guy. What I found in the last year since I've been back in the industry is that that's happening here. You're getting these cool younger photographers who've got their stylist, who've got their couple makeup artists, they're working as a team, and they're creating, they're doing this amazing stuff that people, like you said, people used to do this back when we started, you know, and that's what makes a good team. The more you work together, the more you understand each other's aesthetic, the more you understand each other's personalities. That's what creates the magic. And I've had a lot of younger people, makeup artists included, that have been wanting to shoot with me specifically because of the bone structure of my face, and they like my wrinkles. And they like that I have experience. And then when I shoot with them, because of how I move, because I know where the light is, because they don't have to tell me what to do when they put me in that outfit, because I know how to swirl a scarf or like flip the hair or whatever the case may be, it makes their life so much easier. And I end up at the end of this shoot with them being like, wow, that was so different than what I'm used to. It's like, this is 30 plus years of experience, friend.
And another reason why these modeling agencies should be engaging you to help like train their up and coming models.
Because it would be a great package, wouldn't it? It would be like, because I used to scout as well. So I used to scout for Next. I've taught runway. I trained with Miss J, so I can stomp. So I can scout. I can show them how to walk. I can show them how to pose. I can take their first test shots.
Yeah.
You know, and also have conversations about the industry and what to expect. Because a lot of the times the girls get flown somewhere and they're not really prepared, you know. I think having this age and experience, all of us, We are such a wealth of knowledge, and it's such a shame that people don't want to tap into that because it's right there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I'm also in this place where I married a wonderful man. We're quite like, you know, happy, and we've got our beautiful children, and like, I've got a lot going on. So if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't define me. So it's a very different perspective.
So years ago, we would do a casting where so many models would come in, and then, you know, you look through the books, whatever, they would go out the door. Sometimes it's like, oh, we need someone with naturally curly hair. She was great, but her hair's not naturally curly, like da, da, da. And then I'd be on set like the next week for like Sears or the Bay or something. And a model would be a part of that casting the week before. And they'd be like, oh, like they didn't like me, right? And I would be like, oh, they actually loved you. they wanted someone with like naturally curly hair. We were looking for a redhead. Like, do you think it would be helpful for people to explain why you don't get a booking, or do you think that's not helpful?
You don't really ever get the feedback, not as a model. I have found as an actor, I've gotten a lot of feedback. So it'll be about the performance, right? With modeling, you're correct, especially when I was younger, I took it very personally, and it was kind of like, oh, you know, maybe it's because, I don't know, my nose is too big. Oh, I guess maybe that girl was prettier, or maybe my bum was too big, because I was constantly being told I was too fat, even though I could do haute couture. So if you're doing haute couture, you're not too fat. But anyway, I think it would help to a degree, but I don't think it helps the confidence. I think what needs to happen is that when agencies are taking on girls, when they're doing that, what we discussed about like what I could bring to the table and showing them how to walk, showing them how to pose in front of a camera, showing them the lighting and stuff like that, I think it's all part of building the confidence. And I think telling them and teaching them to look in a mirror and get really comfortable with the parts that they don't like about themselves, and get really comfortable about what does make them beautiful, I think then they have the tools to do their best with what they have been given, and then to maybe could help them realize that it's not them, that there are just differences, but that has to be a communication. It's like what we tell our children, isn't it? So it's like, okay, you didn't win that chess match because the other kid was better, but maybe that kid practices more. Is that something you want to look at? Should we do a little bit more practicing in the meantime, whatever? And it's the same thing with modeling. It doesn't always, like you said, it doesn't always come down to what they look like necessarily. Right. It could be they needed a redhead. They needed green eyes. It could be anything. So I think the feedback could be a good thing, but I don't think it's the most important in order to help them with their confidence. I think that the preparation would be the best thing.
Yeah. And I guess there's also in some situations, I don't know, there's some people that the feedback they have would not be helpful. Like I remember working on a shoot in Singapore and models in Asia, when they're coming in on contract, even if they're coming in from North America, like they want them very thin, you know, it's kind of, in many cases, almost unhealthy thin.
Oh, I remember I was in Japan twice. Yeah.
But anyway, I was on set and the stylist was trying to zip up a pair of pants on the model and he couldn't get the zipper up all the way. And I'm telling you, she was like a stick. And he asked her if she had her period because she was a bit fat in her stomach. And I looked at him and I said, do not say that to any woman ever again. And honestly, I never worked with him after that. I told him off in front of everybody on set and he never booked me again.
That's terrible. But you know what? There are those. I've had those too. But then you get the flip side. I'll tell you a little story. I was in Paris and going around for the shows and I went to do this casting. And I go in and this man's out coming out and he's like, okay, everybody put your books on my hands. And then everybody's loading their books on, and my book just happened to be the one on the top. He petered off around the corner. And as he rounded the corner, he was like, it's you. And he got really loud and he ran around the corner and he grabbed me and he pulled me. He was like, I've been wanting to see you since London and all da, da, da. It's Jean-Baptiste Valli, and he was working for Angoro. We got back into the back room and he had me trying on something and he pointed to this one article of clothing and the seamstress looked at him and looked at me up and down and went, that's never going to fit her. And he looked at her up and down and he went, make it fit. And then he walked away. And I was like, yes, I love you. You're my new favorite person. Yeah, because you do have people in the industry who will go to bat for you. That you do. There are people out there. So it's unfortunate that you had to witness that because I've witnessed it too, but I've witnessed the opposite.
Yeah. I've definitely witnessed both things, but another story that I had in Singapore, we had this model. I shouldn't laugh because it wasn't even funny, but we had this model, but English was not her first language. And I honestly thought she was doing a fantastic job. Then the photographer is getting frustrated. So I took the photos and I go over with my phone saying, oh, the photographer wants you to do this. And she's like, okay. And then we start shooting again. And then he's getting frustrated. I honestly, Lindsay, I don't know what his problem was because she was doing a great job. You know, I'm a fucking seasoned hair and makeup artist. Like, I've been on so many sets. She was doing a great job. So maybe for him, it just became he didn't like her look or something. He was looking for some sort of excuse. I don't know. She ended up coming over to me with her phone in between shots. And she holds her phone out to me and she says, I don't know what this says. And it's a message from her agent saying, you are being fired. You need to come to the agency right now. You're doing a really bad job. And I was like, oh, your agent says the shoot is all done and you can go and they want to see you. I didn't want to be the one that's like, oh, you're just being fired. And I was so pissed off with that photographer because I felt like the whole way that he handled that was so inappropriate and so shitty.
That's another interesting thing is that throughout the years of modeling, I have to also say, it did very much feel most of the time like we were a clothes hanger. It very much felt most of the time like we were meant not to have a personality or that we weren't expected to have a personality or that it wasn't encouraged. Maybe just because there was a weird communication or whatever, now it's the model's fault because she's doing a crap job. Well, is it though? Or is it because you're not trying to relate to her as a human being?
Yes, I agree. And I do have to say, like, upon reflection with that shoot with that model, I would say it was a failing of the photographer because it's up to him to direct. And I 100% believe that she was doing a fantastic job. There was another job. Okay, I should stop with all these stories, but one more story. We were ordering lunch. We were ordering McDonald's. And I remember asking the model if she wanted something. And she said, I'm only allowed to have an apple a day. My agent said I'm too fat. And being a woman and a mother of three daughters, and I just kind of looked at her and I was like, okay, are you hungry? And she said, yes. And I said, do you want McDonald's? And she said, yes. And I said, then let's order you McDonald's. And she says, will you tell my agent? I'm like, no, I'm not going to tell your agent and I'm going to feed you. You know, it's like, so ridiculous. But I was on a job. It was for the Bay. And this is a good story. We had a model. We were shooting beauty and she had the worst skin. Normally the agent would call in the morning to say like, oh, she's having a bad skin day. The funny thing is like living in Asia, if we had a model that showed up with bad skin, they would say, your skin's really bad. You need to go home. Here, we just kept shooting, but we didn't shoot the covers. We shot the inside story. And then the client was just like, okay, well, we can't shoot the covers with her. So just let her know. Like, it's also, why is it me? Why am I the one?
You're the scapegoat. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I just said to her, oh, they're rethinking. Because she was like, oh, I thought I was supposed to do a cover. I don't want to tell her skin's bad. And that's why we're not shooting her. I just said, I think they're re-art directing it. They don't really know what they're doing. So we just decided to scrap the covers for the day.
Shame. Oh, man. Now, I had a client once, I think I was in Paris, tell the agency that they wouldn't book me because my skin was bad. And they called me to talk to me about it because they hadn't seen me in like a week. So they asked, like, is your skin that bad? I said, no, my skin is absolutely fine. I think they're on something because it definitely wasn't me. So I'm like, listen, I'm coming into the agency. I walked into the agency and the moment I walked in, my agent was like, nothing wrong with your face. I said, I know, I told you. And then she called them on it. She said, well, she was just in here. So, and I'm telling you from my professional experience, there's nothing wrong with her skin. So I don't know what the real excuse was.
And you'll never know, right?
I'll never know. But if I hadn't been strong enough to say to my agent, that's bullshit, I'm going to come show you. Imagine the other little ones that don't have that kind of confidence. Then their agent then is sitting there thinking their skin is bad. Can you imagine? That then limits them from putting them out towards any like other clients. How terrible.
I feel like part of my job is to help talk up the talent, you know? So because it's helping give you positive energy and confidence, right?
So back when I started, back in the day, there very much was that whole casting couch thing. Hey, there very much was this like weird innuendo of like, if you're nice to the photographers and okay, I'm not necessarily talking about being sexual, but I think there was a lot of that as well. Do you find that that's still something that's in the industry today? Because I feel like I'm not seeing it as much at all, but I'm also not, I've only been back less than a year. So
I honestly don't feel like we're seeing that much at all. I don't really hear about it. There are some photographers that people don't like to work with, but I don't know why. And maybe it's that. I remember years ago doing model testing, which I don't like doing. But anyway, I was on a model test and there was a photographer here. He had asked me to ask the model to take her top off for the shot. Not only like so many wrong things of this, you know, it's like she's young. It's one of her first shoots. So even if you were of an older age, like if you're not comfortable, it's not going to look good, you know? And then he said, oh, I want you to ask her to take her top off because you're a woman and you're a mother. And I said, why don't we call our agent and see what her agent thinks about that? And then he was like, oh, okay, I'll forget it, you know?
But that's exactly it. If you're not quite into your womanhood yet, being asked that sort of a question when you're trying to embark on a journey where you want to be successful in this industry, are you going to say no? Do you have the wherewithal to say no? That's the thing. Someone my age, our age now, we can make those choices. They're not comfortable enough in their bodies yet. I mean, how old? I don't think I was even comfortable in my body until I was over 25.
I'm 53. I'm still not comfortable in my body.
Well, now there's a whole other conversation because I feel like we should all be very comfortable with our bodies. But if we're not, how do we teach someone else? But anyway, that's another podcast.
It's true. I think regardless of your age, I mean, of course, if you're younger, you should 100% know that you can say no, right? But one of the things that one of my aunts taught me was like, no is a complete sentence.
I like that.
There's nothing wrong with saying no. And you don't owe anybody an explanation. What I think is funny, and I don't know if it's just our upbringing, but like I find when I want to say no to something, I feel like I have to follow up with an excuse. Like, no, oh, sorry, like I can't do that because like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I should not be sorry just because I want to say no to something, you know, it should be. And I find that, I mean, maybe it's easier when you're texting people, but I have like responded to someone, maybe not just like no, period, but like, you know, I'll say no, whatever. And then I start typing out like a whole like reason, and I've gone through it. I've deleted the reason. You know, it's like, you can still say no and have it sound nice without adding a reason to it.
But that's good. And that comes with the experience. Coming back full circle to us being older women, right? Like that's something that we have to learn through trials and tribulations. We have to do like, it's like death by fire. We have to get thrown into that fire so many times until we're so burnt. We're like, geez, my skin's paling. Like, and we had to learn that. And it makes it so much more empowering as a woman to be able to stand your ground in a situation like that and just say no. So I was doing a local commercial and the director was just a dick. But just like the dickiest of all the dicks that you've ever met in your entire life, yeah? And I was gritting my teeth and bearing it and just wanting to get through the fucking job. And then at some point, he just made some sort of a comment about the way I was acting and it being completely unprofessional and impassable and something. I can't remember, but he was taking digs at my character, actually. And the scene was, I was kind of like a Martha Stewart mom with my daughter having a baking moment where we're making a pie and I'm putting it in the oven and there's like lots of smiles. And I was holding the pie and I was like, you know what? You can eat this pie now. And I put it directly in front of him. I took off the apron and I walked off the set. He was like, where are you going? We haven't finished the scene. And I turned around and I looked at him and I said, good luck. And I walked out of the house and I called my agent and I said, listen, this is what just happened. This man is being a tyrant. I'm absolutely not staying on set right now to be. And the little girl, now this is the thing, right? So this young girl was about 12. I was so proud afterwards because I was showing her an example of what it looks to stand up for yourself in this industry. Yeah. Anyway, the agent said to me like, listen, you do what you feel like you have to do. If you feel like he's belittling you, then you don't need to stay there. She then called the client and the production company, whatever, and spoke to them. And then they pulled him off set and they said, listen here, if you're not going to apologize to her immediately, we're firing you. We have a director on standby. And they made him come back and apologized to me. And then I made him apologize to the girl because I said, you're setting a really dangerous precedent here. I said, if you behave like that to an older woman in front of a younger woman, she's going to think that that's acceptable. And it's not.
Which is how it should be.
Yeah. You know what? I'm already in my next chapter and I'm just manifesting. You know, I want to get myself out of this being super happy that I've got five options a day out of London, Paris, and Germany and stuff and start booking those suckers. Like, I want to be back traveling. I want to come back like this year full force. That's where I want to be. And I want to be taken seriously for both that and my photography.
Are you represented for your photography?
Not yet. I've been too scared. I seem real confident, don't I? I'm just too scared. It's one of those things like and that's a weird thing for me too. I think for me as a person, I'm so confident in me now that I don't mind putting myself out there. But when I'm putting my artistry, my creativity as a photographer out there for people to scrutinize, it makes me feel really insecure and small.
Is it because you haven't really kind of like made that kind of leap yet? Or do you feel like you have a bit of imposter syndrome with that? Or
I have a bit of imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
It's interesting because when we were talking about photography earlier and it kind of resonated with me when you were just saying like, it's all about the eye and how you lay it out. And just because you don't know technical kind of stuff, you know, it's like, I've had a few people say that to me as well, because I'm the same where I've actually been offered a couple jobs for photography. Like when I was in Singapore, I had a Japanese beauty brand message me because they wanted me to shoot it. And I thought they were talking about my hair and makeup. And when I was like replying to them and I said like, oh, like for hair and makeup, like, oh, who's the photographer? They're like, no, we're talking to you about photography. And I backpedaled out of it because I felt so like, what the fuck? Like I can't do a photography for a Japan like beauty brand. Even my agent has been like saying to me like, okay, like your photography you do is good. Like, what are we doing with that? And I'm like, nothing. I'm just a hobbyist.
Yeah, I feel you though. It's the same with me. Like the last year I keep saying, because I have a friend of mine here who does have a photographer's agency and he asked me about it. He's like, well, what about your website? I'm like, don't have one. And he said, why don't you make one? Oh, I don't know. I've submitted a whole bunch of stuff and I'm waiting for stuff to come back. And he says, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you've actually been published now at least 7 times this last year. Have you not? And I said, yes. He's like, I think you've got enough for a website.
Yes.
I don't think I've gotten myself, I haven't put that hat on quite yet. Like, I think knowing that I'm going to be published in Mob Journal next month is a big thing for me, because for me, the aesthetic of that magazine in particular is very cool. And it's the gap bridger from where I've been until now to where I want to go with my photography. So I think maybe when I see that in print, maybe I'll take myself a little bit more seriously.
Then your photographer hat can come on more tightly.
But I think also, though, within the industry, it's been, well, up until this point, as far as I'm concerned anyway, the majority of the time the photographer has a little bit, well, a lot more control, don't they?
Right.
So they have a lot more control about what the makeup artist is doing and what the model is doing and what the stylist is doing and how it all comes together and how it should be shot, right? So I think for me, it's a little bit more of that. It's a little bit more of, oh, crap. Now I'm the orchestrator. It's weird. I'm like a control freak in that sense. But on the other side, I don't know if I want the control. Do you know what I mean?
I 100% know what you mean. I also have this like little fear because I've been on set before where a client has gone to a photographer and they're like, oh, we don't like this for, you know, whatever reason. And a photographer and I'm not saying we don't know what we're doing, but a photographer that has years of experience as photography as their main focus, they can talk to the client. And I've always had this like, well, what if I'm on set and a client asks for something and I don't know how to do it?
Yeah, but there's also certain people called digital technicians. Lighting techs. You can hire a lighting tech. Then you don't have to think about it. Just be like, listen, I want this aesthetic. Do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at your photography now because I knew you were doing it, but I didn't actually have a look at it yet. So now I'm really curious.
I would happily take your feedback too. I don't do my own retouching. I send it out. So I have a couple of retouchers that I use. My Instagram account for my photography is Andrea Claire Pix, P-I-X. You can have a look at that.
Then I will find you. And if you haven't seen mine yet, it's Lindsay Photo, but Lindsay spelled with a Z.
Okay. I know I've seen some of your photography like on your Instagram for modeling too. So I don't know if I follow your photography one, but I will for sure.
Well, the majority of it is beauty photography. So it's right up your alley.
Okay. Well, if you have time, I mean, definitely we should get together for sure. But if you have time to shoot something, whether it's just you and I and you modeling and doing photography as well, or we get a model, like I would love to see you and shoot with you.
Cool. That would be fun.
We've had such a great conversation and clearly we could keep talking, but I don't want to keep you forever. But is there anything, like any thought process you had like leading up to our conversation today that you wanted to make sure you kind of like touched on or shared? Or
I mean, it was mainly for me just about the fact that, like, you know what, there are so many stigmas about women over a certain age and that we shouldn't subscribe to the bullshit anymore, because as a matter of fact, it's just bullshit and I'm living proof. Like, I spent so many years, like I said, in a hole like Gollum, putting myself down, damping my fire, and like listening to other people's bullshit when they told me that I'm too old or too fat and, you know, wrinkly or whatever the case may be. And it's just bullshit. And I'm really happy to see that the fashion industry is like taking note of that. And I'm really happy to see these beautiful, beautiful 40 and 50, 60 something year old women coming back full force, stomping the runways, on the campaigns. I'm really proud to be one of them. And it's so empowering to see the industry changing in that respect. And I just wanted to highlight the fact that you're not too old. You are never, it's never too late to start something new. Like, I'm doing two different things at the same time in the last year, and I'm 46. I'll be 47 soon. The thing that makes us cool is being individual and being ourselves and be proud of it, you know? And I'm just, that's my new motto. And that's what I want everyone our age to know.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lindsay. I really appreciate all of your time and your stories and all your shares. And I look forward to seeing you in March.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fuck You 50s. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to follow and rate the podcast. And we'd love to connect with you on Instagram, so be sure to follow us at the Fuck You 50s. The Fuck You 50s is hosted by Andrea Clare and edited and produced by Bespoke Productions Hub. See you next time.